to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 480. And this is Happy Easter. It's Thursday before Easter, so I hope you guys are got some holiday plans happening. It's that's what it's all about, isn't it? Good Friday all the way through till Easter Monday. Back to work Tuesday. That's, of course, if you're lucky enough to have Saturday off. I am, so happy days. I think I'm going down to Brunswick or somewhere like that. That's all good. So, this is Aussie Tech Heads. My name's Glenn, and we are here this week to tell you all about what's been happening in the tech news industry. I don't know if it's an industry, but we'll call it an industry this week. We are brought to you by Aussie Tech Heads Web Hosting. You can find us at athwebhosting.com.au, and you can also tune in and listen to us again by downloading through iTunes, which you've probably already done. And or if you want to listen to like live 24/7 tech shows, you can go to TuneIn Radio and search for Aussie Tech Heads, or all other instructions at aussietechradio.com. So that's all going on. All right, this week we are joined by two of the regulars. I think we can call Stuart a regular now. He's been here for quite a few weeks. So, hi, Stuart. How you doing?
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Good week this week? Busy week?
Yeah, well, actually, the weekend was super busy for us because the band that I played in, we had a gig, and we only play once every 3 years. So for us, it's a big deal when we actually get together and play.
Well,
there's a lot of work involved. So
you'd be well practiced. You got all the gear. Your equipment, your amps, and your mixers, all that sort of stuff. It's a full blown show.
Yeah, we've got everything. We don't have our own front of house speakers, so we normally hire those if we have to. But we've certainly got all of our own fallbacks on stage and all that sort of stuff, and mixer and all the rest of it.
Yeah, nice.
I put in the show notes if anyone's interested, just a little YouTube clip of us playing on last Sunday, if you want to have a look. So,
oh, all right, good stuff.
It's up there.
All right, so that was in the show notes earlier, or like when did you put that in?
About 5 minutes ago.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to I'll go and add that into the actual show notes. I've already put them up on the webpage.
But
I'll go back in and I'll put them in. I'll put that in after the show. So go and have a look at Stuart's band. I'll be heading over there as well. And Shane, hi Shane, how you doing?
Hello, I am doing very well, Glenn.
Excellent. How's the NBN going?
Yeah, the NBN's going good. It has got some sort of hidden costs or gotchas.
Ooh.
I got I'm not on as a higher plan with this other provider as I was when I was on ADSL, mainly because the speed that I wanted to get with this other provider, Sky Mesh, is that they offer 100 down and 100 up service,
right?
But it's not actually available in my area yet. So even though the NBN's here, their 100 isn't available. So I thought, well, I don't want to go with one provider and then a couple of months later have to switch. So I still went with them on a 100/40, but they've got peak and off-peak pricing. So their peak period, the plan that I'm on is only 240 gig during the peak period, and then it's 1.2 terabyte off-peak.
All right.
Unless you want to move the podcast somewhere between the hours of midnight and 7 a.m.
No. I don't think so.
We're going through the peak period quite quickly. But what I think it is you know how like things like YouTube and whatever kind of automatically set the bit rate depending on what it thinks your connection is?
Yes.
So when we were on ADSL, I think it was automatically going for like a lower standard quality, but now we've got NBN, it's going for a higher quality. So a 5-minute video on ADSL is whatever it is download-wise, and it's twice or maybe three times that when it's on HD. And you don't notice it because YouTube automatically says, oh, well, we'll just give you everything at once because you can hack it.
I was only thinking the other day back to when I first got cable, you know, and that how massive the plan was at 12 gig a month. You know, it was just that was before videos and had audio, but before YouTube, I think. How old's YouTube? Yeah, there was no video back 10 years ago, was there, on the internet.
I don't think 2004, so. I think YouTube was 2004, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I think I first.
I can remember. Just downloading trailers off the Apple website, apple.com was, I think, the main place for trailers. You know, it would take ages just to download a 1 minute trailer in high def.
Yeah. Yeah, and I I'm sure because it was back in like 2000, I think I first had cable. Yeah, 2001, 2002, somewhere around there. I'm pretty sure I don't think the computers could even play video properly. You know, so
no.
Yeah. So, all right. So, look, if you want to get in contact with us, you can at facebook.com/AussieTechHeads or send us a tweet at AussieTechHeads with a hashtag AussieTechHeads. That's original, isn't it? And if you want to see the shows in video, you can at youtube.com/AussieTechHeads. All right, let's get into a story. And let's get this out of the way. Oh, should we get it out of the way or should we leave the FBI one till later? I don't know. We've gone over.
We're
going
to put this one to bed.
I know. Oh, let's do it now. Well, it's the first one that came up. All right, FBI. Okay, I think Shane, you start because I think you had a bit on this one, and then I'll continue on if there's any to add.
All right. So, the FBI story that I kind of stumbled across is just one day before the government. So this is on basically the same day that they did that Apple did their announcement about the iPhone and all that other stuff that I think we're going to cover later. Just one day before the government was set to meet Apple in court to determine whether Apple could be forced to unlock an encrypted phone used by the terrorist. I have his name in the show notes, but I'm not going to try and pronounce it because I'll butcher it, and I don't even want to do that to a dead terrorist. The government is saying never mind for now, and why? Because they might have found their own way in. Apple executives spoke with the reporters today explaining that Apple knows nothing about whatever method the government might have to find or might have found to break into the device. A judge has actually granted the government the request to postpone the hearing, which I think is now going to be April sometime, so probably in the next week or two. Speculation is that the NSA is stepping in because they sensed that the FBI was getting cold feet and they might actually even lose the case. But I've got some kind of thoughts that I've put down here for discussion that I'm wondering whether it could be one of the following. The FBI found an existing backdoor, so they don't need Apple's help. The FBI found an existing vulnerability, so they don't need Apple's help. John McAfee has actually come through with his promise and he's actually broken into the phone.
He's done it!
Or perhaps, like you were saying, Glenn, Apple and the FBI have actually got together behind closed doors and sorted it out, and all this public kind of chest beating was just a smokescreen while they actually had that secret meeting.
Well, let me have a continuation of that because I've got a bit more information, whether it's true or not, who knows. Do we still have Stuart there? You still there, Stuart?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep. Oh, yep, cool. Your video just froze, but we'll... Oh, there it goes.
Okay.
It might be coming back. Look, the extra bit I've got was a company called Cellebrite. Now, this is an Israel-based provider of mobile forensic software. Now, they're apparently helping the FBI. Now, Cellebrite is a subsidiary of Japan Suncorp, which is not a building society or a bank, has its revenue split between two businesses. It's a split between a forensic system that's used by law enforcement, military, and intelligence that retrieves data hidden inside mobile devices and technology for mobile retailers. Now, look, I think... I don't know if Apple's going to come out on top no matter which way this goes. I think if they win the court case, they'll come out on top. If they don't win the court case, obviously they're losers. And if the phone gets hacked or cracked or whatever by the FBI, NSA, or Cellebrite, well, they're going to be losers anyway because then their phone will be deemed to be vulnerable, to be hackable. I'm pretty sure that's not what Apple would like. Maybe they should have stepped in a bit early and tried to, try to appease the FBI a bit, maybe under a bit of a cloak of secrecy, as I've been saying, rather than let it get to this stage. Because could you imagine if Israel-based company comes out and says, we'll just crack the iPhone, boom, it's not secure. Has anyone got any thoughts on that? Stewie, are you still there?
Yeah, no, well, I'm not sure really what's involved, but actually I've been recently catching up on that TV show Homeland, if you've ever seen that one before.
Oh, yes, and that's a good one, yes.
Yeah, that's right. And in that one, it seems pretty easy to crack phones. They just seem, and it works with iPhones as well, and all they have to do is get this little dongle thing that they plug into the phone for 10 seconds.
That's right.
And then they can tap all the phones, so...
Yes. What's going on?
How hard could it be?
Yeah.
That's right. We need some of that. We need some of that software. But do you think that if it gets cracked by an Israeli, do you think what's Apple going to do? Do you think that puts them in a bad position? Or, you know, from a security point of view? It's not going to make them look good. Yeah, it's not going to make them look good.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's right.
This could all fall in Tim Cook's face, I suppose. But anyway, that's the latest on the FBI thing. So,
the only other thing I wanted to add was, I don't know whether anyone's going to cover it, but President Obama went to South by Southwest during the week, and his main kind of reason for going there was to sort of, you know, basically say that the tech community is needed, you know, the tech community and the government should work together to help the economy and the country out as a whole, and everything was going sweet with this, you know, initial kind of speech he was making. Then right towards the end, somebody asked him a question about the Apple FBI kind of saga.
Hmm.
And it all kind of went a little bit pear-shaped after that, because basically what Obama was saying was that he was trying to get across that the tech community shouldn't kind of fetishize, to use the word that he used, he probably said it better than I did, about their mobile phones and kind of be so protective about them and have them have them so secure. But what, according to Leo, at least, Leo Laporte, he was saying that Obama's probably missed the point for two reasons. A, he's a politician, so he's trying to negotiate and kind of come to an agreement and get all the parties together and just, you know, hug it out kind of thing, because that's what politicians kind of do.
I think he's preparing for retirement. I don't think he's doing anything.
Well, that's true. He could be on the home stretch. But what Leo was saying is encryption is math. So... You can't negotiate. It's not like you can sort of say, you know, this 2 + 2 = 4 thing, can't we just, you know, negotiate it and say 2 + 2 = 4.5? But encryption's all about math. So,
yes.
And the math is there and the encryption's been there. If this turns out like Apple can't put any high-level encryption in their phones, that's fine. But that's not going to stop Samsung and LG and all that kind of stuff putting encryption in their phones. And... whether the FBI like it or not, it is a marketing and selling point, the security of a device. So if you've got an Apple phone that's not as secure as what an LG or a Samsung is going to be in this scenario, you're going to go towards the other one.
Well, that's right, if you're security conscious. Yeah, that's right. If you need a phone that's exactly right. So maybe, you know, like maybe this should have all, that's as I said, maybe this all should have been kept quiet by Tim Cook and by Apple and, you know, just done the backroom deal. And said, okay, here's a key. Here you go. Go have your life. Or what do you want out of it? We'll get our guys to give you what you want. And then hush, hush, go away. All right. But anyway.
You know the other good thing about this? We've managed to cover this whole story. And apart from this one time I'm going to mention it now, we haven't heard the term cookie monster.
That's because Eric's not here. You would have noticed Eric is away this week. He's coming up to Easter. He's pretty busy because he's probably got the Friday off, so he probably has to cram 5 days into four. So, happy working day, Eric. Now, look, Shane, we'll get you to do another story because while you're doing that, I'm going to ask Stuart if he can just stop and start his camera again, please.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yep.
Shane, if you can do one of yours, please.
I'll do a little one. I'll do the BMW one, another one that's probably close to Eric's heart. BMW.
No, he's Audi.
I
think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. BMW announces Android app integration. BMW was among the first auto manufacturers to introduce the integration with the iPhone back in 2011. 5 years later, the company has at last announced at the New York International Auto Show that the BMW apps will integrate with Android devices. The first three apps to work with the iDrive system in the 2016 BMW 7 Series are all about music. It's iHeartRadio, Pandora, and Spotify. Not sure why they're going for exactly the same style of apps and they're not kind of mixing it up a little, but users need to download the BMW Connected app to stream music from the phones through the iDrive via Bluetooth.
Well, there you go. So, look, I had a little picture there. I was too preoccupied with other things. That's the picture. There you go. That looks all right, doesn't it? A bit blurry, that one. But that must be the reproduction through the thing. But anyway, yeah, okay. So you'll be able to avail of that when you get your Beamer, Shane, which will be pretty close.
Yeah. I've got to sort out like catching up on the mortgage and paying other family members and taking care of that Xbox problem. And other than that, I hopefully might be able to get a BMW.
Good. All right. Now, how'd you go, Stuart? Did you get your camera stopped and started?
I tried to do that. Did that work at all?
No.
Didn't work?
No. But that's all right. We can just look at a little circle. Every time you speak, I'll put your picture up. Well, of the story.
How do I actually do that? I went to the options in Skype.
I think down the bottom, if you go on the Skype, see where you got your four little buttons.
Oh yeah, just turn off there.
Yeah, there's a camera. The first one's a camera. If you turn him off there, that's it.
Yep. Okay, I just did that.
And just turn him back on again. Oi, there we go. All right. Now you've got a couple of stories. What's your first one that you thought was interesting this week?
Yeah, well, something that might be useful for a few people is that. You know how you always tend to have these old computers at home that are a bit long in the tooth and you don't really use them anymore day to day, but there's nothing really wrong with them and you're sort of thinking of how can I use these things a bit more usefully?
Yeah.
So I was looking at that and I thought, and we've got Easter coming up, so we've got some time to, you know, have a play around with a few things. And so I came across the Sophos UTM Home Edition software, which is like a supercharged firewall sort of a system.
Right.
And it's software that you can install on a PC or you can put it on a virtual machine.
Yep.
And what it is, it's free for home users, but it is exactly the same as the full blown commercial version, but it only works up to 50 IP addresses, which is probably heaps for, you know, for most home users. Yeah. But if you've ever used on your home router, when you log into that and you can see the firewall options and you can change the DNS and port forwarding, all those sort of things like that. Well, it's that kind of a thing, but it's times 10 sort of thing. So it's got a lot more stuff in it, a lot more options and web filtering and things like that. You can combine multiple internet connections so that you can, like Eric, I think, has got two cable connections at home, for instance. So I think you can put both connections into the one unit, and that shares and optimizes that. And
so this is so the software's free, but you got to buy the unit. Is it?
Well, you can just install it on any PC, and it works on pretty modest PC. So what I had at home, I had an old PC that. Yeah, so I had an old HTPC. It was an ASRock device that had an Atom CPU in it. So it was a fairly low specs for the machine, but it's perfect for a firewall though. So I installed that on. The only thing you have to think about though is that with this sort of a system, you need to have two network ports in your computer.
Yes.
So I just got one of those USB adapters with the Ethernet port on it.
Yep. Yep.
Plug that in. Worked fine. So
yeah, right. Because they're pretty. They're only like $30-$40, aren't they? Those little USB to LAN.
Oh, less than that, I think. Yeah, I think I paid probably $15 on eBay or something like that. It wasn't very much.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap. Well, that sounds not too bad. I suppose the downside is if you're going to use a dedicated computer, you've just got another machine running. That's probably the downside. But I suppose it doesn't cost too much. But yeah, so. Yeah, so that's so protect your kids' web surfing habits. So it's pretty powerful. You're pretty happy with that?
Yeah, well, I've only been in sort of testing phase at the moment. I haven't sort of fully launched it for the whole household yet. But
look, but
one of the things that I was well, you see, one of the things is that if you've got kids and they're using laptops or whatever, this is a sort of central way that you can control all the web filtering and so on to a much better degree than your average home router.
Hmm.
Whereas before, I'd tried installing sort of parental type software on their computer, and I just find those things, they always just tend to slow down the computer, so it's just not usable anymore.
Yes.
So I was just sick of those.
What about things like the OpenDNS, like as opposed to this sort of thing? Are you a fan of the OpenDNS type software or service?
I know about it. Yeah, I haven't sort of used it at home, but this is a lot more in depth though than OpenDNS is pretty basic though.
Yeah, I think the only thing why I brought the OpenDNS thing up was because I think, well, you get someone else is doing all the work for you, really, aren't they? They're banning sites probably every day, and it's probably all the work done for you. Or I wonder if Sophos can they download?
It does. So with the web filtering, when you set it up, it has like about 30 different categories, so you can ban just sort of gaming websites, for instance.
Yes,
and it's constantly updating its own definitions of what it thinks a gaming website is, and so you can do it based on those broad categories, or you can pick particular websites, of course, that you want to ban. And also the thing with this is it keeps logs of everything of what websites are being accessed, whereas your average home router won't keep any logs of anything like that.
No. Okay, so hopefully the throughput is it doesn't slow anything down. I don't see that it would if you're using gigabit ports all over the show. That wouldn't slow anything down. I might have to have a look at that myself. There, what a good tip. I might have to have...
Couple of questions and like one point. This is the sort of thing that you were talking about in the most recent episode of the security podcast, Glenn, because Roger was talking about UTMs.
Yes.
So this is exactly what this is. The problem, though, not the problem, the problem, for the want of a better word, that I have with the tribe at the moment, how I mentioned earlier that we're kind of coming close to our monthly limit all the time.
Yeah.
My router will control the bandwidth so I can slow the internet down for everybody else. But what it doesn't do is actually say, okay, well, between the start of the month and the end of the month, whenever that is for me, I'll let Shane download as much as he wants, and I'll let Regan download next to nothing, Hayden download next to nothing.
Yeah.
Does this thing do that? Can I set download quotas for different people?
I'm pretty sure you can. You can set up users and groups, and then you can have rules for the users and groups, so that because of course this is mainly meant for a commercial environment, so it's set up based around making sure certain people can't download too much and things like that. So I'm sure that that you could do that.
Mm. Do you have and why did you get onto this, Jude? Have you got a potential problem, like with young kids accessing, or you don't want them to access the bad stuff?
Yeah, well, it was just because I had tried a couple of different sort of parental software on the laptop itself, and I just found it too annoying. It didn't really work all that well, or certain websites would get blocked, and then me as the parent, I wasn't able to work out how I could unblock just that particular website because there was nothing wrong with it, and it was just too much trouble.
Yeah, right. And I see it also solves your spam problems as well if you're using the POP3 SMTP protocol. So that's a well-rounded little package, doesn't it?
Yeah, nice. No, it really, really covers a lot.
And I don't think you'll have more than 50 IP addresses. That'd be a big family. Even a small business really wouldn't have more than 50, you wouldn't think.
Well, but I went around sort of counting up all the things that need an IP address in my house, and it's amazing how it adds up now because there's so many networked attached devices now, and I've got more than 30 IP addresses that are being used, and it just adds up.
I know. I did a scan on what IP addresses were being used here, and I was... Yeah, quite amazed. I might have had 15 to 20. But yeah, I know they do add up, don't they? There's your Macs, your laptops, your computers, your phones, your iPads, cameras.
And then you've got your Apple TVs and your Xboxes and webcams, and there's just
everything. Yep. That's crazy.
Fridges, Electric Whoa. Toothbrushes.
Yeah, well, that's right. Exactly. All right. Good stuff. Now, let's move on to the favourite story of the week over all the media, I think, is Telstra. They've gone again. They've suffered another outage. Complaints started coming in around 11 a.m. Sydney time last Tuesday. No one can use their network, or some customers couldn't use the network. I think it was more than what they said. I think they only said there was about, 8,000 people or something, but it was more than that. So that's the second outage in 5 days. So what's going on over there at Telstra? People tripping over too many leads? What's going on?
All went downhill after I left.
Well, that might be so. But, yeah, so that's no good. That's look, I know a lot of people have got bees in their bonnet, you know, and they're crying all over the town, crying all over Twitter. But, I mean, you know, it's gone down a few times. I suppose, you know, you give it a bit of leeway, don't you? Like, is it, you know, just start getting upset straight away?
It hasn't really affected me, but I guess people that really rely and depend on it, then I can see that could be extremely frustrating.
Yes, yes. I was watching the show the other day. What show was that one up? I think it was Paul Murray on Sky News. And he was just saying, yeah, he was trying to put a show together and he didn't have no phone. It was hard because he was out on the, you know, in the field. He was doing an outside broadcast show. And he said it was very hard. And it is inconvenient, I understand. But, you know, Vodafone, they've come out and they've offered 1 month free. And that's to entice unhappy Telstra customers over. I don't know if I'd be jumping that fast and maybe not jumping that direction. So Vodafone has announced it's offering 1 month free access for any new customer that defects from a rival network. And now this promotion coincidentally came on the same day as Telstra suffered its second outage. And that's the second outage in 5 days. It's the third in 2 months. And there's a data-free day on the April the 3rd. So that's coming up. I wonder, first thing I thought of about the April free day was if I can beat the record. I don't know. I think that guy, what did he download, 450 gig or something? Crazy.
I was just thinking about that free day coming up. And I was just thinking, is there any way that I could take advantage of that? But there's nothing that I particularly need to download, really.
That's right.
That I can't do right now anyway, because you get such huge download limits these days anyway that I don't come close to it. So it's...
Yeah, you have to think about, I don't know what you'd be doing. Like maybe if you wanted to try out Google Photos, you know, and you had, you know, a terabyte of photos you needed to stick up there. Give that a shot, I suppose. That'd teach them. Teach them the job.
Yeah, well, I guess if you weren't on the NBN, it might be good to get a really good upload speed, because it'd be much faster than cable, wouldn't it?
Well, much faster than yours. I think you've got a real dodgy one today, haven't you? Must be everyone on Netflix in your
whether
street.
The kids are around. Yeah, I know. I'm not sure whether they are or not, actually.
Oh, get that. What was it? Sonos. Get that. Yeah. Sophos, yeah, or whatever it was.
Sophos. That's right.
Get that.
I'll be sorry.
That's right. You yell, I'm going to turn the Sophos on. Stop it. Stop downloading.
Before we move on from the Telstra thing, I don't know. I mean, and I'm probably a little bit biased because I did work there. But, I mean, I know they've had a bad run, but people have got to look at the long-term history as well. I mean, they've had, 3 or 4 outages in, 2 or 3 months, 2 months?
Yeah, but, that's right.
Oh. You know, look at the 5-year stretch, or, you know, even 3 years, 5 years, 10-year stretch, and have a look at the outages that they had. You know, apart from these ones, I don't think they've had any.
No, look, I think, if it starts happening every week, or, you know, 3 times a month or something like that, then I think you might start to think, oh, you know, is this really worth it, or, you know, what you're paying for, etc. But I mean, well, if it does keep happening, I don't think a free data day is going to be a satisfactory compensation. I think they should
not.
You know, it's not really hurting them, is it? Like, you know, it's not really
hurting them.
I think, you know, maybe they should say, well, okay, we'll give everyone, you know, $30 off the bill. We'll pro rata or whatever. So I don't know, whatever. But anyway, but that's the go.
But then you aren't, yeah. But I guess most people are paying for like a consumer style plan that doesn't have any guaranteed uptime in it. And so if you were paying some sort of plan that did have that sort of uptime guarantee, well then I can see that you'd be more upset. But it's you know, it's like we just recently got internet at work, which is a new setup, and that one is a isn't a consumer grade. It's a commercial grade, and it's got guaranteed uptime. And there's all rules about if there's any downtime, then you get credits back and all that sort of thing. It's all set in stone.
Well, I suppose that with Telstra, with the mobile networks, it's pretty fierce, as you can see with Vodafone, coming out with the plan, this idea just on the day of the outage. Like people, it's pretty competitive in you vote with your feet, and I suppose that Vodafone's just trying to latch on to really unhappy customers. I doubt whether they're going to get too many. Because of that, maybe if someone's thinking of going anyway, they probably will and take advantage of it. But, look, hopefully that's the last one from them. Let's see how it goes. Like, I don't think it's time to cry your eyes out yet. Shane, where are you taking us?
I'm going to go with another feel-good story, depending on your point of view, I suppose. Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen pledges $100 million towards cutting-edge biotech research. Investor, entrepreneur, billionaire, and Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen has announced a $100 million investment in the Paul G. Allen Frontiers Group, a fund focusing on the future of biotech research. Allen, who is worth $15.3 billion with a B, announced the investment at the National Academy of Sciences in Washington. The purpose of the investment is to explore the landscape of biotech and fund ideas at the frontier of knowledge and advanced science and make the world better, according to a statement. In the show notes, I've got links to like the statement and a link to the Academy of Science to sort of tell people what they're all about. Even though the Frontiers Group is based in Seattle, Allen assured the audience the new foundation will partner to create projects at various U.S. and global institutions, starting with the Allen Discovery Centers and Allen Distinguished Investors.
Do you think, I'm just looking at his net worth here, it says, $15.3 billion. How hard do you think it would be for him to give away $100 million? Like, he gives away $100 million, his net worth would go to $15.2 billion. It's not much, is it?
And then with the interest that he earns on that, he'll be back up to $15.3 billion in no time.
Yeah, that's... But I suppose, people might be worth this much, but they probably don't have it sitting in the bank. That's probably, in, baseball teams or something like that.
But he used to own... What did he own? I think he owned the LA Clippers, and that's now the team that Microsoft dude, Ballmer, he owns. I'm sure he bought it off of, at some point he owned the Clippers, and I'm sure he bought it off him directly maybe even, because I know that the NBA had to kind of, it had to get approved and all that kind of stuff, and I'm sure he bought it. So basically it went from Microsoft to Microsoft.
Could you imagine having $15.3 billion? Like, you could just buy anything you wanted, wouldn't you? Anything. Nothing would be out of reach. Yeah, I don't mind that footy team. I'll buy them. No worries. Yeah, good stuff. All right, Stuart, what else have you seen?
Well, it's a shame that Eric's not here tonight because I've got the perfect story for him. There's a new website that has just come out. It's called mythresults.com. Mythresults.com, it summarizes every episode of Mythbusters. And so you can search, but there's also categories as well. So it breaks all the episodes into various categories, and you can see what was busted and what wasn't busted and so on. So for instance, if you went down to the category historical feats, you'll see that the Apollo moon landings were not faked. There are not discrepancies in the photos. A flag can flap in a vacuum. A footprint can be made on the moon. The video footage is not slowed down, and the astronauts did leave behind equipment that we can detect.
There you go. I do remember seeing that episode, and I didn't know that at the time I saw that episode, I wasn't aware there was such a big conspiracy theory going on about all this rubbish. Like, it's like so many people just don't believe it.
Well, didn't Buzz Aldrin punch someone in the face or something because he was asked about whether
that's on YouTube?
Yes, he did. I think someone said you didn't make it or something, and he just turned down and decked him. Yeah, that's right. I do remember that. It was, well, it was funny on this side of the world, wasn't it? I don't know. Like, I know there was a big, there was a race to the moon, wasn't there? For God knows why, but there was, between Russia and the US. But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't born, but I got no reason to not believe it. Why not? Why? There'd be so many people involved in the lie that more people would have come out of the woodwork. You know, there'd be...
That's right.
Even if half of them are dead now, there'd be some guy that wanted to spoil everything, and so he'd write it in his will. By the way, moon landing faked. You know, something like that, you know. It's crazy.
Exactly. I mean, it'd be just like the VW scandal that was just recently came out, you know, about the carbon emissions and so on, you know, with VW. Well, it's eventually the secret was hidden for a while, but eventually it came out, didn't it? So
that's right. Yes. Yeah. And wasn't it?
I doubt that you could keep it.
Yeah, some students or something found it, or you know, discovered the problem.
Testing, wasn't it?
But you're right. I think I did remember reading that, yes, that was hidden for a while before it was sort of discovered, yeah, as it were. But okay, the moon landing, eh? It's not a myth. Eric, I know you're listening, and he's probably just gone, that's BS, phone your iPhone away, the earplugs flew out of your ears. I'm gonna go and watch that episode, Eric. But listen, stay tuned, because I'm gonna talk about your favorite topic, Apple. Now, Apple through the week. Now, this was an event that wasn't. I don't know. Like, I remember last week, Eric. He said that he never knew that. Didn't know there was an event on. What was going on? It was sort of like a mini event. It was a out of cycle event. You had to go back a few years for an event Apple's done in March, but well, here we go. Here is one. Anyway, what happens at this event? Well, there's a new iPhone, the iPhone SE. Now, this is, they've gone smaller, a 4-inch screen. So apparently, that's about the same size as a 5, Apple iPhone 5. Look, it's got the A9 chip. It's the fastest chip that Apple's got. It runs Apple Pay. Comes in rose gold, which I don't know why everyone's going crazy over rose gold. I like space gray.
It looks pink.
No, is that why?
Yeah, it looks pink, and under certain, well, actually under every light it looks pink.
Well, who wants a pink phone?
And Leo's got one.
You did?
No, Leo's got one.
Ah, flip. Now, so the iPhone, the same size as the iPhone 5. Yeah, look, I don't think that's a bad idea. I was happy with my 5 before I went to the 6, and 6 is a little bit bigger, but anyway, the price tag's a little bit less. It's looking at Australian $679 for the SE, and I think the iPhone 6, as you'd probably remember, was about $1,100, I think it was, so that's a bit of a saving. I've got a picture that will probably give you a decent indication. But I think I just pulled a picture of the iPad, because that's another thing that was announced. That was the new iPad. So the iPad Pro. Now, I've all heard of the iPad Pro, but this is a smaller iPad Pro. Now, this is a 9.7-inch iPad Pro. Now, someone's gone. Did everyone go? Oh, Skype just dropped out. That's no good. Well, we'll just have to wait until it comes back online. I think it's gone offline. But instead of doing anything crazy, let's just talk to each other and see if we can get back online. Oh, it's reconnecting. Okay. So, look, the iPad Pro, it's going to be 9.7-inch. And look, I'll just keep talking until the Skype comes back. Apple has revealed a smaller model of the iPad Pro measuring 9.7 inches and featuring Apple Pencil support, 4 speakers, and the A9X chipset. So Apple has revealed a smaller model. Oh, I just read that. Now, the new iPad Pro comes with the iPad Pro's Oxide TFT display. It's apparently 25% brighter. So that's good if you're blind. And iPad Air 2. So it's 25% brighter than the iPad Air 2. It works with night shift and something called True Tone display, which measures color temperature and adapts the color on the screen to suit. Okay, let's see if we can bring these guys back in. If Skype's going to play nice. I think that might have been my connection there that dropped everyone out. Maybe it's not Stuart. Maybe it is me. Because I fell out. And now we're back.
Yeah, just dropped off a cliff.
Yes. Yeah, my Skype just disconnected for like all that time. But anyway, I continued on. And we still got you frozen, but it doesn't matter. I've just been dealing with it. But it's either my internet or your internet. But cable is, well, it's Telstra. It's spreading.
Yeah, it's
the problems are spreading.
Another outage.
All right. So, look, I was just talking about the iPad Pro 9.7 inch, the new iPad that's come out. It will feature Siri. It supports a smart keyboard and the Apple Pencil. Now, get a load of this. The smart keyboard. So, think of, I don't know if you know what it looks like, a smart keyboard. I don't know if you remember or even know what the keyboard on the Apple Surface looks like. It's a real thin thing. Go and have a look at it anyway. $229 for the smart keyboard.
Oh.
Yes, I know. That's crazy. You can go down
I think the... Apple's... It's...
Yeah.
Sorry, they're really in danger of just pricing themselves out of the market, aren't they?
Well, I reckon that this is why... Well, that's what they bought this SE iPhone. They're trying to hit the the cheaper market, the cheaper demographics out there. But they're still a little bit above. I think the market analysts wanted a phone that came in at about 400, but you know, it's still more than that 400. You know, the iPad Pro, as if you've been listening to the show, you would have known the big one when it first came out. Like, we just bagged the price of it, you know. Like, all of a sudden, it's what, $1,200 for this iPad? Like, no way. You know, like, you just wouldn't do it. And so now, I suppose, they've filled the gap a bit. Like, you know, they've brought the price tag back to a bit more reasonableness with this 9.7-inch. But still, like, I'll give you some prices. Oh, by the way, the Apple Pencil—that's the thing that works like a pen on the iPad Pro. $165. It's out there. Now the iPad Pro has also got a 12 megapixel EyeSight camera, and features the 4K video recording. Now, Wi-Fi only model for the 32 gig is $899. She's up there. She is up there. Look, there's other prices in the show notes if you want to go and have a bit of a peek at them. But, look, I suppose the only good thing about it is, if you can call it a good thing, the iPad Air 2 price has come down a little bit. So you can go and get the Air 2, which is probably, you know, just the last, up until this new one was released, was the latest one. So it's still a pretty snappy little machine. But 16 gig, you know, is $599 Australian. Like, that's still up there, I reckon. Oh, look, I would have hoped that if that would come down to about $450, I could have had a show at getting one. But then again, 16 gig. Why they need 32?
Yeah, it's pointless.
Yeah, I think they've got to stick it. They've got to start coming at 32, haven't they? Like, get rid of the iPhone 16s, iPad 16s. You got to start coming in at 32. But anyway, that's how Apple goes. So, look, I don't know anyone that got up at 2 in the morning to watch that. There's also, if you wanted to...
I was.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, because it was on... It was quarter to one for me that Leo's coverage started. I think the actual thing kicked off at 1 in the morning for me.
Right.
So, and I'm a bit of an insomniac, so I just watched it. I think I dozed off and missed the iPad stuff. And the phone stuff, but I was there for when they were talking about their robot that recycles stuff, and I saw the watch band stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw, I mean, the first thing that Tim Cook went on about was the FBI thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, you know, killed about half an hour for me.
He's going to, look, sorry to get back to it, he's going to have a big problem if that phone gets cracked. He's got a big problem. If John McAfee, he's going to social engineer it, so that's okay. But if the Israel guys get in there and crack it, he's got problems. So anyway, as Shane just said, new wristbands for the Apple Watch. Whoopie doo. if you're interested in that. And look, the only good thing, I suppose, if you are an Apple person, fanboy, and you didn't watch the show, right at the start, just jump on your Apple TV, right at the start, is 40 years in 40 seconds video. And that's okay. All right. that's all right. It's right at the start. Yes.
Well, while you're talking about Apple, Glenn, I was just there was something I came across this week that was very interesting, and something that probably Eric has basically been talking about for a while. And there was an article in the Washington Post about Apple may have reached its peak.
Mm.
And they were saying that really Apple's last major innovation, which was the iPhone, because pretty much everything else since then has just been an extension of the original iPhone. That was released in 2007, and there really hasn't been anything since then. And so you've got other players like, for instance, Facebook is about to bring out their virtual reality headset next week, and it's probably still very early for that kind of technology, and it'll have its problems and so on, but they're in that space taking a risk, yeah, and they're really trying to push the technology forward, and Apple really haven't done anything like that for a long time.
And because I also, to complement that, I also read somewhere today that they're expecting, well, analysts are expecting that iPhone sales are going to slow this year. Probably just because the market's just saturated with like iPhones and smartphones, and that's why they've probably thought, well, let's bring out a cheaper one. You know, we've got to try and sell more. We've got to try and maybe aim at a different market. We've got to do something, because I think you can't just keep selling the same old phone, can you? Like, and you know, if Will was here, he'd be saying that Android's leaps and bounds ahead, and to some extent they are. They've got a lot more features than Apple, the iPhones have. But
that's right.
Yeah.
But doesn't every industry kind of get to this point? I mean, you know, cars these days don't look any different to what they did a few years ago, and there's not much difference between, yeah, I mean, apart from the Audis and the ones that the general public can't afford. But, you know, your Commodores and your Fords and, you know, your Toyotas and all that, they're all kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other.
But I think, like, the Apple, I suppose, look, that, you know, they're working on the car, apparently, the Apple car. Look, it took them, how long did it take them to update the Apple TV? Whether or not it's updated to how you'd expect it to go, if you'd expect it to be what it should have been, could have been, should have been. You hear every now and then that they're buying this company A, company B, company C, but together, there's, I don't know, maybe there's a roadmap that, you know, in 2 years' time, something flash is going to come out of it. But yeah, like iPhone, iPad, nothing's really happened. That's just been improvements.
It's a bit hard to tell with Apple, because they are such a secretive company. They might be working on all these kinds of wonderful things that we just don't know anything about.
Mm.
But you would hope that they're trying to do things like Google is they've got their self-driving cars, and even with the Google Glass that they brought out, which wasn't successful in the end. At least, again, they're sort of taking a risk and they're sort of making some big moves. But what Apple have been doing, of course, they've been launching all these frivolous lawsuits against Samsung, usually. And they reckon that Apple spent more than $1 billion in attorney and expert fees in its battle against Samsung. Oh, so imagine if they'd spent that money on innovating, where they'd be now.
But I don't know. But they're not short of cash. So like $1 billion on the lawyers is probably not going to really. I don't know if it'd take away from the R&D department. But look, I suppose I can hear keyboards tapping now. What about the watch? Yes, they did bring out the watch, but they sort of weren't first to market with that. And it's locked down a bit too much for people's liking. Too dear, you know.
Well, even the watch is a little bit like a small iPhone on your wrist in a way, isn't it? It's like a really underpowered little iPhone.
Mm.
So it's kind of not all that different from what they've done before.
And like, you know, I was even surprised to learn a little while ago that you can't put your own face on it. Like you've got to have whatever's given to you as or a choice of however many faces that you want. You can't just go out.
Because Apple knows best.
That's right. And like I saw in a magazine today, there was an Android Wear watch, I think from Asus. I'm not sure who it was from. And it had like the old, you know, the analog clock face on it with a digital date. And it looked really, really, really nice. And I thought, well, that just looks nicer than the Apple Watch just by looking at it. It looks nicer. Apparently, it didn't run too well, apparently, according to the review. But still, it just looked nice. You know, why won't they let you put your own face on it? Probably something to do with security and trying to bed it down. So, you know. But, I don't know. Apparently, their iPhone's got problem, iOS has got problem in China with some malware trying to get into the DRM code or something. And they reckon it's going to spread. It's contained in China at the minute, but they reckon it's going to spread to the rest of the world pretty soon. And that's iOS. No good. Shane, you must have some more.
I've got one left.
Good.
And it's kind of a lighthearted poke at a serious thing. Australian lawyers and scholars are encouraging civil disobedience. I was practicing this word earlier today. Disobedience in this year's census. The 2016 Australian census will not be anonymous, and a lot of people are not happy about that. A group of Australian privacy advocates, including Professor of Computer Science and former New South Wales Deputy Privacy Commissioner, are raising concerns, and some are encouraging Australians to avoid the census, refuse to fill it out, or to use civil disobedience, like listing their religion as Jedi Knight, to skew accuracy of results. In December 2015, in a move to that mostly went unnoticed, the Australian Bureau of Statistics said that it would keep the name and address of every person in Australia, with the collection of the data effectively starting this year's census. This means that the data will be individually identifiable. Former New South Wales Deputy Privacy Commissioner Anna Johnston, no relation, Director of Consultancy Salinga Privacy, has called the proposal the most significant and intrusive collection of identifiable data about you, me, and every other Australian that has ever been attempted. This year's census data will be linked to previous censuses too. And I don't know how they can do that given that this is the first identifiable census, but apparently that's what they're going to do. And a list of what concerned people are doing has been published, which I've got a link to in the show notes, and what concerned citizens can do on the census night to avoid their personally identifiable data being captured and catalogued by the government. However, this civil disobedience may attract a fine.
Well, yes, well, what are my thoughts on that? Let's put my two cents in. I wouldn't condone lying on the form, but then again, yeah, if it's going to personally identify you, like that is going a bit far, I think. What's wrong with just putting Joe Blow as the name? You know, as long as all the other statistics are correct for your circumstances, just put Joe Blow. Is that a problem? You know, you don't have to identify yourself on the form. I don't know, maybe it comes pre-printed. It wouldn't, though. But yeah, like, you can't go around putting Jedi Knight in the religion, can you?
I've done it before.
Well, you can't. Well, why would you want to do that? So, there's reasons why you don't do that. Like, you know, you could put agnostic or whatever you are or whatever you might be. And if you put agnostic, well, there might be less churches built or vice versa, you know, so... I don't know if you want to start.
Apparently, there's a minimum, especially with the religion one, there's a minimum that if we reach that, then whatever, say, Jedi Knight actually becomes a recognised religion in the country.
I've heard that. I don't know.
I think it's a bit of a myth, though. I'm not sure that that's exactly true. But yeah, I've heard that story.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to see. But so in previous years, you didn't put your name on it. I just can't remember. Obviously not. If everyone's blowing up about it, obviously not.
Yeah, well, if you know, if they don't need to know personal, you know, linking data to actual people, well then
why would they
shouldn't capture it? Yeah.
Yeah. Why would they? Why do they need that data anyway? They want to know how many Glens are in Australia or something, but they could do that anyway. You know, like they could
look up the phone book.
Yeah. Well, Centrelink records or whatever, like. you know, there's records that go back just because you, like, because I remember, because I used to work, do something for the government, and yeah, you could go back.
I'm glad you clarified that, you know, you changed it from work to just do something.
I said just walk in there every now and then. And but yeah, like, they got records from, you know, obviously your Centrelink records. And then, you know, in the older days, they still got the old child endowment records. So there's records. Yeah, you're not going to get away with anything. But in a census, this is probably not going to the Department of Human Services. It's going to the Statistic Bureau or whatever, the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Why do they need to know who Glenn Goodman's religion is or what Glenn Goodman's salary is? You know, like, isn't
that's
the,
right,
isn't the actual statistic enough? Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. I'd have to, I'd make, I'm going to reserve my decision on that until I see the census form. But, yeah, I don't know. I might just put Joe Blow down as the name. But I'm sure this will all be sorted out before then. Something will happen. Okay, Stuart, you got probably one more or two, I think.
I think just one more, but actually just one more point on that, yes. on sort of privacy and so on as well, is that with the way that, that cash is moving to everything, all transactions being online and so on, and people aren't using cash as much anymore, that is a bit similar to the census in that you then can't really do transactions that are completely private, because if you exchange cash, well, no one knows what you're doing. But but the minute that you do something online, then you've got some traceable thing.
That's right.
And so they're saying that that this is a problem if we move to a cashless society. Suddenly everything is traceable, and it's just another bit of privacy that's just gone forever.
Yeah, that's right. I don't mind paying stuff in cash. I think you know, good. It's good. You know, sometimes you just, you know, just want to be, just want to hand over cash, don't you?
Under the radar.
Well, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. It's always, you know, why give your card? Like,
yeah,
you
got, I mean,
yeah, because a further extension of that is if you're not paying by cash, you're paying by card, there's fees. You know, someone's getting a fee out of everything. So therefore, it's putting prices up. So, yeah, pros and cons.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So, sorry. My last story was just about a rumor, but a fairly strong rumor, that the Nintendo is going to cease production of the Wii U later this year. Now, the Wii U console is only 4 years old, but it hasn't performed as well as the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. So, they've only sold 12 million units. The original Wii sold 100 million plus.
Yeah.
And the PlayStation 4 is up to 36 million. So you can see why they're probably going to call it quits on that, but I think it's so that they're going to replace it with a new console, apparently called the NX.
Right.
But of course Nintendo are not announcing anything that they're going to stop production of the Wii U at the moment, because they don't want people just to stop buying the Wii U straight away now, of course, when there's still stocks in the warehouse, I'm sure. So
yeah. Yeah, look, I don't know. Like, my kids had the, you know, the DXs, and I remember just before they got them for Christmas or something, like, this is like a few years back now, I sort of said, why are we buying DSs or whatever they are, you know, Nintendo DS?
Yeah.
Why are we buying these? Why not get an iPod or something, you know, where you can put $2 games on them, instead of having to go get a cartridge for $30. And I think that's where the Wii U as well is probably going to fall over. That's probably where it has fall over. The phones are handheld game machines. The Wii was probably popular because I went and bought a Wii, and that was because it was one of, well, that was the first with the infrared, you know,
the motion control.
That's right, yeah. That was the first one of those. Yep. That's why that was 100 million of them. And, yeah. And it just moves on from there. That got boring, and you know, the Xbox had better graphics. I went and bought an Xbox. Yeah.
Tell the truth, you actually broke your TV or something with the Wii, because you forgot to put the strap on.
No, I didn't do that. I always put the strap on.
We've come close a few times.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's brought us to the end of the show, and also coming up to Easter. So that's, no, I'm just scrolling through now. I like that so far, so I'm going to have a look at that. and scrolling through the rest of it, and that's we've done them all. That's good. Good work. Apples, Telstras, done them all. Okay, cool. So don't forget, you can see the show notes, and you can go and have a look at Stuart's band. I'll put that in the show notes. Right at the top I'll put it. Save you scrolling through everything. But there'll be a YouTube link. I'll put that in the show notes, and you can find them at aussietechheads.com.au/podcast. You can talk to the Twitter at Aussie Tech Heads, as I said at the start of the show. Don't forget, yeah, on the Aussie Tech Radio, we've got the Aussie Mac Zone, the Obsidian Loft, the Old Fart Geeks, and the Aussie Tech Security, just to name but a few. Now, the Aussie Mac Zone, that this week, so that's the week before Easter, which I think was the episode 22nd of the 3rd, I joined the guys and we sort of went, oh God, right in depth on Apple. I think Michael stayed up and watched it from 3 o'clock in the morning, and oh, he wrote down everything Tim Cook said. I think Tim Cook's got a boyfriend there. But, he's not careful. But, yeah, so if you want more to know more about the Apple thing, either watch it yourself on the iTunes or go and listen to the Aussie Mac Zone. All right, good stuff. So that's it. Thanks, Stuart, for coming in. Thanks for giving us your stories.
Thanks,
Shane. And going hard with all the stuff that interests you this week. And you too, Shane. Thank you very much.
Yeah, just on that, I don't know if I mentioned this at the intro or not, but this is probably going to be my last week for the foreseeable future, because I've been lucky enough to actually find employment, finally, right at the point where, you know, things were getting a bit shaky when it comes to eating, the house, that kind of thing.
Eating, right. That's shaky.
So, yeah, so this is probably going to be my last show for the foreseeable future, because my finish time and where I live and all that kind of stuff is just, until they invent time travel, I'm probably not going to get back in time. Won't be the last time you see me doing kind of podcasty stuff, because I am trying to get another podcast together myself, which we'll probably have to do on the weekends, given that I'll be working Monday to Friday. So for what it's worth, it's been good, but
we'll see you when you get fired.
Thank you for the support, Glenn. I mean, I know my recent history hasn't been great, but no, I think it'll actually work out better with this current organization.
Because
they're bigger. For those that might be interested, still got two legs. The leg's getting better. So hopefully in the next week or two, I can stop getting the silver chain out and getting the dressings done.
Cool.
And I will be back to as close to normal as I ever get.
All right. Well, we wish you good luck in the new job. And I know you got a big commute, so you'll be able to listen to a lot of podcasts. You got Bluetooth in the car? You can listen to podcasts through the Bluetooth?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm probably one of your big kind of fans when it comes to the radio and all that kind of stuff, because I mentioned it during the week that you kind of squeezed in one there that doesn't kind of fit the Australia/New Zealand thing, but yeah, it was good to listen to.
Oh, I don't know how that fell in there, but maybe we could put that in more often. I won't say what it is, because it was a mistake to have it in there, so I didn't get any clearances, so we'll just leave it at that. But anyway, yeah.
You accidentally dragged it and dropped it across.
I must have. But anyway, good luck with your job, Shane. I'm sure it'll go well, and just come back to us when you can. Maybe there's a Thursday night when, I don't know, show day or something. And just come back.
Yeah, public holiday or something like that. Yeah, but no, definitely when I can, I'll definitely come back.
Good stuff. All right, and we'll see everyone else, hopefully, bright and bubbly next Thursday. Oh, no. Well, we're not going to see Shane, and I think Stuart might be away. So let's see. It might be just me and Eric next Thursday. We'll see how we go. It might just be
you in a mirror.
We'll see if we can get, Will back on or something. We'll have to get him back in the gear. Baby brain and all this sort of stuff. All right. Don't forget the AussieTechRadio.com. Until next week, next episode, we'll see you then. Happy Easter. Bye-bye. Aussie Tech Ed is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Tech Ed or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading, and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.